99.3.
Your reliable station for more information
around Nigeria.
99.3. Nigeria Info.
99.3.
Your reliable station for more information
around Nigeria.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Weeba Boor on Power Solutions. It's good to be back here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Today we have two amazing guests from the company called Daystar Power, and it's a solar company. It's not a church, just to be clear. It's Daystar Power. We have the founder, Christian Vessels, and then we have Victor Ezenwiko, who's the business development manager. So welcome both of you to the station today.
Good morning, Weeba. Thank you for having us.
All right. And I understand Victor used to be a music DJ at the radio, so today it's just about talk. Maybe they'll invite you back to DJ some music at another time, but welcome, guys.
Hopefully,
yeah. So talking to the mic. Okay. All right. So maybe I'll start with Victor. I know you joined the company about 18 months ago.
Yes.
And you were in PwC before.
Yes.
So what led you to go from, you know, probably a nice steady job in a very large firm to taking the plunge into a startup?
I think it was more of the dream that Christian sold to me when we had a discussion. Essentially, we were looking towards the future of Nigeria and where we're headed towards. Mm-hmm. And it was more of Sunray Ventures being a venture builder, building companies on sustainability. We talked about solar, we talked about renewable energy, and we talked about the power sector. And for me, I remember growing up, we had power issues. I had grown up, gone to school, got master's degrees, come back, and we still had power issues. Mm-hmm. And then we had this vision of how we can contribute to reducing the power gap in the country and how I could utilize my electrical engineering degree as well as my PwC experience to combine a role together that helps take the country forward. And I was sold.
All right. So now let's go to the salesman who sold you the vision. Christian Vessels is German by origin, but he's been in Nigeria for 10 years. I think he's aiming to make it at least 16 so he can apply for his citizenship. Is that correct?
No, that's correct.
That's correct. Absolutely. So he's like me. He's another Oyibo Nigerian, so it's good to have you on the show. So Christian, you know, you have a long history in Nigeria, but you originally came, I think, from a small town in Germany, and now you're in, you know, this Lagos, and you're almost part of the furniture in Lagos now. So what brought you to Nigeria, and talk through some of the other companies you worked for, because some of them are ones everybody knows. And then what led you to leave all that and start this?
No, thank you, Weeba. I came to Nigeria 10 years ago, and back in the days as a consultant, actually, working with an amazing team at Diamond Bank when the task was to modernize Diamond Bank, and then after Diamond Bank, a number of other banking institutions when I was still in consulting. And I remember quite well how it was when I started here, and the topic of power came up almost in the first days of every assignment that I had, where I was explained then, unlike Germany, where I was from, power was a huge issue, and I then very soon understood how big the power gap was that would drive a lot of the inefficiencies in the system, but also drive a lot of the pollution that we are facing here in Lagos and any other bigger city in Nigeria. So 10 years later, now together with Victor and an amazing team at Daystar Power, we are addressing this power gap by deploying renewable energy solution, specifically solar off-grid solution that provide both stable power, lower cost, but also clean power. And I think that makes a huge difference. And it links very nicely into what I've heard when I arrived 10 years ago in Nigeria, and I was explained that every company has several diesel generators to essentially run their operations. And we are now here to change this.
All right. So now I know, you know, you grew up in Germany. You also have a connection with UAE, I believe. What have you learned from those markets in terms of power and renewable energy that you've brought here with?
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I mean, particularly the upbringing in Germany allowed me to early on be exposed to topics of sustainability and safeguarding the environment when Germany very early on invested in renewable energy. The second thing that I learned at the beginning of my career, that it's always about finding the right energy mix and finding the right energy solutions for every country. So in Germany, of course, historically, this has been large-scale utility-size power generation. But even there, it were different power sources. And what it taught me was to look here in Nigeria now, number one, how we can effectively deploy renewable energy, and secondly, how we can do this in an intelligent mix to meet the objective of providing energy in a stable and reliable way, but also at competitive cost. So this is what I took from Germany. I think there's a strong sentiment in Germany when you grow up to safeguard also the environment, because I feel that whilst we appreciate that we can't build the Nigerian economy on the back of diesel generators, and something has to change here, we often forget that we live in Lagos also are constantly exposed to a very high pollution level, where a World Health Organization would say that's not okay, that is far beyond the threshold levels what we would recommend. So I think it's really this environmental protection which we hope that becomes also a bit more important in Nigeria in the consciousness of the political as well as the business leadership.
Okay. Now, in Nigeria, for some reason, even though we have sort of endless amounts of sun and it's free, solar really hasn't taken off, and people are still, you know, stuck with their generators. Now, in Germany, which is much colder, rainier, you don't get as much sun. Does solar actually work?
Yeah, no, it works fantastically here. So I think we have to be fair, of course. A couple of things have changed would make now solar solutions much more attractive than, let's say, 10 years ago. Number one, the cost of the equipment, solar panels, photovoltaic panels, but also the rest of the equipment. These costs have gone down dramatically. And as we speak today, and when we send our teams across Nigeria, really to the far north, but also here in Lagos, we are with this technology today in the year 2019 competitive compared to grid supply. So that has changed, and this is really because the technology has advanced, and on the back of this has become much more competitive. Then secondly, I think every technology needs a certain time for its adaptation. And it needs companies that explain the technology. So we are one of these companies, and I hope there are many other good companies out in the market who do a tremendous job in really going to corporate and commercial customers to explain this alternative. So I can only share from our company, Viva, that almost every discussion, every contact that we have that leads to a discussion translate into significant interest in learning about solar technology. And it always has a very simple, a convincing argument. And this is when we compare the cost of our electricity to the cost that currently our commercial customers are paying. And we are systematically 20, 30% below these costs.
Okay, so let's step back and talk about the company itself. So Victor, you mentioned, we've talked about Daystar, then you also mentioned Sunray. Mm-hmm. So I know it's sort of like a small group of companies that you guys are starting and building. Daystar is a solar company, and then there's others that are in other aspects of sort of the green economy.
Yes.
So maybe you can tell us a bit about Sunray and then about the group that you're building.
Okay, perfect. So Sunray is a venture builder, as I said. Mm-hmm. And
so it's not really a company in and of itself.
It's a company housing other companies.
Okay, got
let's
it.
Put it
okay,
that way.
Okay.
So essentially, we a company built, at sustainability. So our core is built on sustainability, and we have a simple tripod mm-hmm. that we tend to follow. And then we set up companies that meet our tripod. Mm-hmm. Number one, economic returns. Mm-hmm. Number two, environmental impact. Mm-hmm. And number three, socioeconomic impact. What does that translate to? So we're trying to build companies on the back of sustainability mm-hmm. that promise huge significant environmental impact. If you look at Daystar Power, we're trying to protect the environment, we're reducing carbon emissions. And then if you look at socioeconomic impact, we're creating jobs, we're training engineers, we're actually reducing the cost for businesses, giving them avenues to make more money and hire more staff as well. So it has a huge compound effect on the economy. And for economic returns, at the end of the day, everyone is trying to make more money mm-hmm. and improve the Nigerian economy and trying to diversify the economy. Mm-hmm. So based on our tripod, we set up companies and then try to grow them up to be leaders in the Nigerian and African markets. So Daystar Power is our flagship company. Mm-hmm. We have other companies like Nordic Degrees, which focuses on oil and gas services.
Okay.
We have BSEDGE Limited, that's a distribution company for FMCG, so fast-moving consumer products.
Okay.
And we have GC Recycling, which focuses on recycling for electronic waste.
Talk to me a bit more about that one, because it's not quite energy, but it's still in that green economy. What are you guys doing in that space?
So it's an entrusted market. If you look at e-waste, that's the code for electronic waste, it's becoming an epidemic worldwide.
And so this is like old handsets, old computers?
Pretty much, anything electronic.
Okay.
So Nigeria is currently the third largest generator in Africa. Africa generates about 2.2, 2.3 million tons annually.
Okay.
And we generate about 300,000 tons.
Okay.
And that doesn't include the ones that actually come in illegally from shipments.
Right.
So essentially, how does it get treated now in the market? It's dominated by the informal sector. So these things come in, and the informal sector, you have children from ages 5 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
You have older youths, and you have your older adults, and they're sitting on the floor with hammers and trying to break open these electronic devices, trying to strip them out, trying to get what they believe to be the precious materials in there. So what we plan to do, our vision, is to try to formalize this informal sector. Essentially, we meet them, we try to teach them best practices, we try to hire them. So basically trying to give them a decent salary, teach them the best practices, and improve on what's currently going on. Because it all comes back to us. If, let's take the example of a lead acid car battery, you see people dismantle it and pour the lead acid into the soil or into water.
Yes.
The soil is going to be used to grow crop you eat, or the water fishes are going to take it and you're going to digest the fishes. So it all comes back to you. So at the end of the day there, we're trying to protect our environment. We're trying to create jobs. So formalize these informal jobs that they're taking on due to the condition. And then we're trying to teach them the best way so we can all live longer and healthier in Nigeria.
Now, is this something that could then also be applied in the future as solar takes off? Obviously, there's still an issue there with the batteries and so on. Is that something that you guys are looking at as well?
I mean, it's perfect you mentioned that. I'll let Christian. Christian is really excited about that topic, so I'll let him handle that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about the topic because it's part of a bigger theme to move actually the entire economy from a linear economy where we extract resources, where we produce a product and where we use it for some years but then just throw it away, where we move this linear economy to a circular economy where we make good use of the resources that have been taken out and really try to find ways to either reuse, repurpose or recycle those resources. And as you correctly said, Wiebe, when you think about solar, then we need to think already today about the huge amounts of batteries that support, for instance, home solar system. A huge number of inverters, power management units that we need to recycle. And then, of course, down the road, solar panels. Fortunately, they last 20 years. But, you know, we have to think now already how we actually reuse them. And there are like amazing applications of this. For instance, Daystar Power is already in discussion with one of the largest global car manufacturers who actually say we run a huge unit on e-mobility. Now, but what do we do now with our batteries, our lithium-ion batteries, if they're down to 80% performance levels? So then they're not good enough anymore to drive on a German highway, but they are brilliant to support our systems in Nigeria when it comes to provide an energy storage solution. So circularity is a broader theme that we take very seriously and where we work hand in hand with a number of global manufacturers to also deploy those principles here in Nigeria.
Okay. All right. So that, because that's obviously one of the big issues on the horizon in the future is with all the equipment related to the solar industry, what happens with it when it gets old. So I think you guys are going to take care of that one also. That's good to know.
That's the plan.
So Victor, now tell us more about Daystar Power. So who are your customers? What are you providing them? How do they pay? How does it work?
Okay, this is a favorite topic for me. So our customers are typically commercial clients, and we have different models we employ. So we have solar as a service, where we typically sell them electricity directly in conjunction with what they currently use, or we have power as a service, where we take over the entire power supply and say, you know, power can be a headache, don't worry about it. We have agreed on a fixed monthly payments, which is 20 to 30% cheaper than what you currently pay. And then we handle everything, all the logistics behind it as well.
Okay.
And our customers, they range from banks to farms to some manufacturing plants as well.
Okay.
Essentially, most commercial clients, because everyone has the same need for power. The only limitation you ever see with solar these days is space.
Okay.
But solar is pretty modular, so a lot of times we're able to still expand our systems. We're able to build carports to actually install and increase the capacity based on the need. So how does it work? We have it's a simple process. First, we open discussions. We do a site audit, which we try to deduce the energy load or the profile of the clients and the sites.
Mm-hmm.
We then design a system to optimize the efficiency and optimize how much solar we can generate, and then see what type of hybrid system would work for them. Give them a proposal, and then we get it up and rolling.
Okay. And is there an option also that customers can just buy outright the system?
Essentially, yes. Okay. But for us, we see that most people prefer a long-term lease option, because then they're able to avoid the huge capital upfront cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what makes it so attractive for the customers, because we're essentially coming to you and telling you no upfront fee, no installation fee.
Mm-hmm.
From month one, you're already paying less than what you were paying the month before.
Right.
And we're giving you cleaner, renewable, cheaper power, or more cost-effective power.
Right. Okay. And they don't have to bear the capex.
Nope.
Okay. So now what happens, though, to the generator and everything else that was already there? Most of these entities have already invested quite a lot in those systems. What happens?
So essentially, in our discussion with the clients, we either take over those assets or we find out from them. So it's an interesting question you ask, because we've had cases where, let's say, a bank will tell you they would rather redeploy those assets to another site. And then we have cases where they're like, just take everything. And then for us, we're willing to take it all. Basically, we put the customers first. So whatever makes it easier for them, we always find a way to utilize these systems. We can incorporate it with a hybrid system for them, or we can take it and utilize it elsewhere. But essentially, the best way is to give them cheaper power and then take over the headache from them. And we're a good engineering company, so we know how to make the best use of any resource they have.
Okay. Now, you said you do bank branches, etc., up to factories,
farms, okay. Bank branches, yes.
So, but what's the smallest size of a company that you could do? Like, can you do a typical SME, or that's a bit below
yes.
what you do?
We can do a typical SME. We've actually done a small farm that was just about 5 kilowatt system.
Okay.
And we have a system coming up that's 3 kilowatts. So those are pretty small SMEs.
Okay.
We can do something as small as that. We can go as big as 5 megawatts.
Okay.
Essentially, whatever the customers need,
we
can deliver.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And are you operational just in Lagos, or you're all over Nigeria? Where are you
that's
focusing on?
That's a perfect question as well. We're operational across Nigeria and mm-hmm. Ghana.
Oh, you're in Ghana as well. Okay.
Yes, we've been in Ghana, and Ghana has been a very interesting case. So it's kind of like a different case in Ghana, whereas the grid is more available, but the costs are much higher.
Okay.
So there, we're actually able to, it's more of a direct sale. Without them, we install, we save you costs for month one, easy.
Oh, wow. Okay. So in Ghana, you have a totally different problem.
Yes.
Okay. When are they going to start selling power to Nigeria, though?
Hopefully the near future.
Okay.
You never know.
All right. So Christian, you know, you talked about, obviously, the systems you guys put in place are environmentally friendly, economically better, you know, better economics, etc. There must be times when customers say no, that they actually don't want the system. Tell me why, you know, examples you've had of that, and why people walk away.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if you think about the Nigerian economy, then I would say the vast majority of industries and companies are perfect use cases for solar energy. So the vast majority of companies, now for them, it's a hugely beneficial technology. And this is true throughout all areas in Nigeria. Now, where there are constraints, I would say, is when you think about, for instance, property or larger buildings, high-rise building. Here in Lagos, for instance, who have very limited roof space but a very high energy consumption. And then when this building is then on top of it also a residential building where the energy consumption during evening and in the night is disproportionately higher than during the day. So there you reach certain limitations of the technology, because after all, that technology is still built on radiation levels, in simple language, when the sun is out mm-hmm. and the sun is shining. So that's not happening in the night.
Right.
So we have some cases where it was then really borderline attractive for customers, and we then actually recommended to not go ahead, because we only do systems where the minimum cost savings are 15%. So we don't do any contract mm-hmm. if the cost savings are not 15%, 20%, 25%.
Okay.
The second area of challenges is, of course, that you often have in bigger companies a huge comfort with existing technology. Whilst diesel generators are so cumbersome, it's a highly mechanical technology that requires a lot of maintenance, it's very dirty, it's very loud, so people on the other end got used to it. So often we find that we need to invest a lot of time in training and actually sharing how this new technology works. So we haven't often found that companies say no in the end, but what we do feel is really very important that we invest the time at client side with the engineering teams, with those people who actually run the sites. Because after all, for most of our clients, you know, they are in businesses, they are banks, they produce beverages, they produce food items, they have logistics, they have farms, etc. So for them, energy is a tool to actually run their businesses. It's not their purpose.
Right.
So we are
right.
delivering this tool. In other words, we need to make sure that with a lot of time spent on explaining the technology, we actually also achieve the same comfort for the technology. And then, Wiebe, I think if you think about the size of the market, and a study from the Rocky Mountain Institute has assessed the annual spend in Nigeria to be around $16 billion for diesel and diesel electricity generating assets. So if you think about $16 billion, that's a lot of money spent of essentially things that come from abroad. And secondly, it shows you the magnitude of the market. So if maybe here and there a customer doesn't like our solution, you know, we are, you know, kind of we speed up, I would say, and then find the next one who right. actually loves it.
Right. Well, a $16 billion market, so there's a lot of space to grow here.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, this is also what people, what we share and what is very important. This is not something that will change overnight. Kind of the adjustment of the energy mix in Nigeria has number one objective to close the power gap. And, you know, Victor mentioned a farm. You know, even if our system there was very small and smaller what we usually do, I love this farm example. Because in this farm example, we produce power that is now 30-40% less expensive. Mm-hmm. Now that money is directly translated into money that the farmer uses in better agri inputs, in employing more people. So we assess that this system alone would probably allow him to deploy more 30-40 people. So that's then directly 150-200 people who make a better living on the back of really having solar power available. So huge market throughout Nigeria, but it will take a certain while to actually change the current gap, or to close the current gap, and to change towards a more sustainable energy solution.
All right, so I think we have to go to the phone lines. Depot, can you share the numbers for people to call?
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right, do we have a call? Okay. Hey. Hello, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Nice program.
All right.
How can someone be part of the team?
Let me take this directly. Okay. So first of all, as Victor said, so our companies are growing, and as we speak, we employ roughly 100 people, and that makes us terribly proud. So to your question, how to do this, please look at our webpage. That's www.daystar-power.com. And you would find a contact form there where I would like to ask you to fill out, and we would look at your application directly. So that's daystar-power.com.
Okay, and you're hiring now?
Oh, we are hiring, yes.
Okay. Right. Okay, next call.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, we're both. Good morning. Sebastian is my name.
Okay. How are you?
Nice program this morning.
Okay. Thanks.
I learn every day. Well, there's value from your program.
Okay.
There's a question I want to ask. Concerning the battery, are there no alternatives to those batteries yet? Because when you are talking about recycling electrical material, I'm also thinking of another alternative to battery. Like me, I'm working on one now. I just want to get the results first, apart from the one I shared with you before, Mr. Weibo.
Okay. So, Victor, is there anything, any technology out there other than batteries? Something that could replace batteries?
Because I'm working on...
Okay, I mean, essentially, it depends on the type of system we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the different hybrids. There's a solar battery hybrid, which is preferred to call up the generator. There's also the solar diesel hybrid. But in terms of battery storage, right now, batteries are said to be the best and most efficient in the industry, and we're definitely always open to explore new options or new opportunities. So if we're able to find different alternatives to the types of batteries that we use, we will definitely have a good look at it. But even with batteries, there's different types. There's lead acid, there's lithium ion, and there's more coming up as well. But right now, batteries are said to be the best in the market and most efficient for energy storage.
Okay, and I understand Tesla is now in the Nigerian market, so It might get improved further.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and some other of the German manufacturers are also here who have fantastic cars. But, you know, the point is really that we need to look at the best energy storage solution. And we would feel that on the solar panel side, the development has been great. On the battery side is where we will see a lot of innovation coming.
Okay.
And where we see really lowering of cost also of larger systems. So we are really considering now deploying larger battery storage units, which use an innovative technology, which essentially means that you have a very high number of recharge cycles at lower cost.
Okay, great. Do we have another call? All right. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, all right.
Very good. Go ahead. Do you have a question?
Okay, I run a big building, you know, as he said about the high rises. I run one of my own 26 flats in the VI. And my diesel cost is actually close to $3 million every month. Is there a way you can do a solution for that kind of building?
So we would love to look at the building because it really depends on the size of the roof space, but also beyond the roof space, how we can use potentially the parking or any other area that is adjacent to the building to deploy solar panels. But $3 million is, of course, a lot of money, and you know, we would love to look at it. And again, if you could please reach out via our webpage, daystar-power.com, and we will look at it directly.
All right. So I think we're out of time. But let's just have a few final words. Victor, what can Nigerians look forward to in the next 3 years in terms of power from Daystar?
Well, you can look forward to Daystar becoming a household name and Daystar doing its part to bridge the gap. Essentially, like Christian says, we believe Africa's or Nigeria's future, energy future, is a patchwork of different sources. We're going to do our best to grow the renewable energy sector and contribute as much as we can.
And Christian, same question?
Absolutely. So I would really love our company to contribute to build an army of highly qualified Nigerian solar power engineers, that in number will be higher than the number of current people maintaining diesel aggregators. So we need actually many Nigerians to really work on this future technology. And secondly, I would like to see that this renewable energy and our solutions massively contribute to the competitiveness of the Nigerian economy. So if you lower energy costs by 30%, yes, the Nigerian economy will be also in international comparison become more competitive.
All right. Thank you very much.
This has been a great show. And thanks for coming on the show and for your words. And as they said, if you're interested in learning more about Daystar, go to www.daystar-power.com. And contact them directly, whether you want to use their services or you want to work in this fast-growing company. So thanks for coming on the show, and people of Lagos, talk to you next week on Power Solutions.
Thank you, Viva.
Thanks for having me.
Your reliable station for more information around Nigeria.
We keep you informed, we keep you company, and we give you access to pour out your mind even through the night. We are the first talk station of the nation.
We are 99.3 Nigeria Info. Nigeria. Nigeria. I'm listening.
Lagos, such a busy place. But here's how I manage to stay in touch with the latest changes, trends, news, economics, and even entertainment.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Manage to survive, them go say.